Well, good morning, Portland Christian Center. That was pretty wimpy for an 11 o'clock group. Good morning, Portland Christian Center. It is so nice to see you. Linda and I are just delighted anytime we get to be here and to worship with you. We're doubly delighted when I get to come and speak to you as well. We are gone most all of the time now, either overseas or around the country, visiting churches, speaking in churches, and talking to them about missions. So it's really fun when we do get that rare weekend, as this one is, to be with you. So we are very, very happy to see all of you. Since you are partners with us, we have now been gone from Portland Christian Center for 3 years now, 3 years in June. And the ministry that we stepped out of here to take on full time was really birthed out of our hearts and out of your heart as well. And so together we launched Petros Network, which is a ministry that plants churches using indigenous workers in unreached areas around the world. We're mostly in East Africa, but I think it's important for you to understand what your support, what your prayer, what your encouragement, and what your money has gone to. So I'm going to give you kind of a stakeholders report. This isn't what the sermon is about. This is just a couple of minutes. I want to show you what's going on. But I want you to see something. We'll put it up on the screen here. That since we left here in June of 2021 to today, we have now planted another 1,856 churches in unreached villages. Isn't that amazing? I mean, I live in these numbers, and so I'm used to them, and sometimes it doesn't even faze me until I just stop and think, wow, there are entire denominations that don't do that in a year or even in 10 years, and God's favor has just been upon us. We're just following what He's blessing, and we just keep doing that, and He's giving us uncommon fruit. And I say us, I mean, not only Petros Network and our team, but us. We are a network, and you are a part of that. And we have now preached the gospel in these 3 years to another 2,988,000 plus people who had never heard a gospel presentation before. So we are fulfilling the Great Commission. In Mark chapter 16, Jesus said, go into all the world and what? Preach the gospel. And we're not only preaching the gospel, we're making disciples of those who have been found, those who surrender to Jesus Christ. And so in these 3 years, we have now seeing another 867,000 believers added to the church. And so we're now at 7,600 plus churches, 7.8 million people have heard the gospel, and 1,582,005 people have come to know Jesus Christ. And so our mission, our passion is we are trying to depopulate hell of as many future residents as we can and get them into the kingdom of God. And you are a part of that. And so we are just so grateful for your help with that. We have a table out in the family center, and we would love to have you come by and just visit us there. Sign up for our newsletter. Newsletter gives a lot of the miracle stories, 44,000 stories that we have. How do you tell all of those stories? But we want to share those with you through our newsletter. If you're interested in a trip or a sponsorship or something, stop by the table and talk to the ladies that are out there. And also, we thank you in advance for your partnership in helping us to fund and build the David Martin Memorial Churches. So you're going to see some photos of that is coming along. And we hope that it's going to be finished and dedicated in January of this year in northern Uganda. And we don't have all of the money yet. And so there's a way that the church here has made that one of your missions projects. And there's a way for you to get involved in that. And so we have put the flyer with the QR code that leads you to the Portland Christian Center giving portal. And we would encourage you, as the Lord leads you, to take advantage of that and be a part of that. And thank you for giving to that. And I just want you to know that you're investing in us. And I know you're making other investments, but there is quite a return on your mission investment. We've seen all these numbers that the Lord has blessed us with. And this is, by the way, the second church in Uganda that Portland Christian Center is sponsoring to build. This one is going to get dedicated in January. We have one that's been in existence for about 10 years now over in southern Uganda, eastern Uganda. And this church helped to build that. In fact, on their welcome sign as you come into their property, it says Portland Christian Center and Petros Network, and they consider you their spiritual parents. And God has really blessed that church. It is now running over 1,000 people was in an unreached village. They have a school that serves 800 students. They have sustainability projects, and so they are self-sustainable. And get this, they themselves, this one church, has sent out, they've sent out 250 church planters from one church. Those 250 church planters have preached the gospel to hundreds, probably over a million people. And they have led 250,000 people to Jesus Christ. And that has roots in you and your faithfulness. And so I just say, Lynn and I say thank you for your faithfulness. And this return on investment is amazing beyond our wildest expectations. But I'm not going to talk about that. We are in a series. I have been asked to join Pastor Nate in this series out of Galatians called Free Indeed. And so it's my honor to bring us to the Word of God today. And our assignment today, yours and mine, is to unpack Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 14. So if you have a Bible, would you open it to that? If you have a Bible app, would you open it to that? If this is just too much effort to do either of those, I've got you covered. It's going to be on the screen in a moment, okay? So Galatians chapter 3 in verses 1 through 14, and since this is a longer passage, it's a bit of a complex passage, but since it's a longer passage, I'm going to invite you to do something that I used to do periodically when I was lead pastor of this church and the one before that. I'm going to ask you to stand as I read it, just to honor, to show honor to God's word. This is the word of God. And this reminds us of the holy word of God. And not only the beautiful word of God, the living word of God, but his word, the written word that is for us. And this today that I'm about to read is for us here at Portland Christian Center, for you and for me. And so this is what the Apostle Paul writes. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Now, I'm going to pause here. I'm not going to do this throughout all 14 verses because we would never get done. And Pastor Nate said I had to be done by 2 o'clock or you would get unsettled. So I won't keep doing this, but I think it bears some explanation here. And the Greek word for foolish is anoetes, anoetes. And it's a very strong word. In fact, the English translations really kind of soften it a little bit. But it literally means, are you just plain stupid? If you were to look this up in the contemporary English version, that's what it says. Oh, stupid Galatians, who has cast a spell on you? Now, imagine your spiritual leader, your pastor, Pastor Nate or Pastor Ray, standing up here in front of you today saying, oh, stupid Portland Christian Center. You would not like that very much, would you? In fact, some of you would probably go to lunch early. Or you wouldn't like me or Pastor Nate very, very much if we treated you that way. I was thinking about this and thinking about my own father, who was a pastor and a good father. But when he got exasperated with me or my two older brothers, mostly with me, sometimes out of frustration and anger, frankly, he would say, you ignorant outfit. It's like, dude, what does that mean? You ignorant outfit. And as I thought back about that, I don't think my father gave a whole lot of care for my self-esteem. He didn't worry about that. He worried about my spiritual fitness. And sometimes the Word of God comes right at us and it challenges us. And we need to be ready for that. And this is one of those occasions where Paul is delivering a strong word. Now, I'm not an angry pastor, but I've got an angry passage today. So just buckle up. Here it goes. Here it comes. So, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? I clearly portrayed for you the meaning of Christ's death. So I ask, did you receive the Holy Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Now, he introduces the phrase the Holy Spirit, not in the sense of being filled with the Spirit or being indwelt by the Spirit or the gifts of the Spirit or the fruit of the Spirit or anything like that. He's talking about the Spirit's activity in drawing us to Christ in that moment of salvation. So we were born of the Spirit. We were born by the Holy Spirit. So, did you receive the Holy Spirit that led you to salvation by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh or by human effort? Did you suffer so many things in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by faith? Just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Know that it is those of faith who are Abraham's children. Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles, that's us, in advance, preach the gospel in advance to Abraham in the Old Testament, saying, in you shall all the nations of the world be blessed. So those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith, the father of our faith. But all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. As it's written, cursed are those who don't abide by everything written in the law. So it's evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith. Rather, the one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. So that in Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. And may God bless his word as we receive it in the deepest part of our being. Now, as you're being seated, turn to someone and say, buckle up, buttercup. It's going to be a bumpy ride today. Buckle up, buttercup. So the well-known devotional writer, Pastor Oswald Chambers, said this of the Bible. He said, it treats us as human life does, roughly. It treats us as human life sometimes does, roughly. And that's no truer than in the book of Galatians, which is the Apostle Paul's manifesto of a very important doctrine. And it's the doctrine that we call justification, or justification by faith alone, what we also call in theological terms sola fide. And the doctrine is simply this, that we are made right with God solely through faith, fide, in Jesus, and not by our works, nor by our own merit. In other words, we can't work hard enough to be good enough to get God to grant us salvation. And no matter how good we are, we still never deserve it. So it's not by works, it's not by our merits. And the outcome of this doctrine of justification as we embrace it is our spiritual freedom. We're free from the works of the law. We're free from trying to be good enough to get God to like us. And Paul is ready to go to the mats for this. He's ready to do battle for this because he, above all people, knew what it was like to live under the bondage of legalism and the futility of human effort. If you go back to Philippians chapter 3, verses 5 through 7, Paul says, hey, look, you want to talk about effort, human effort? He said, I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I was a Pharisee. If you think you followed the law, I followed it to the nth degree. I was so passionate about it. I was fanatical about obedience to the law that I actually persecuted and had people killed who didn't follow the law until I met Jesus. On the road to Damascus one day, I met Jesus. He came to me, he revealed himself to me, and he showed me that everything I had been striving for was nothing but garbage. And everything that I do in my life, when I compare it to the all-surpassing righteousness of Jesus, it's dung. Paul says, it's nothing but dung. And the Greek word there is not a nice word like dung, so use your imagination on that one. But he met Jesus, and everything changed. And so he is going to defend this doctrine until the day he dies, so that people don't surrender to something else and go back under the works of the law. Justification by faith alone is core theology for the Apostle Paul. It's the charter of his Christian freedom. It's the charter of our Christian freedom as well. And so he writes to those here in Galatia. So Galatia is a region. It's not a singular church. This is probably a circular letter that gets passed around. But he's writing to those in the churches in Galatia that are now surrendering their freedom by returning to the bondage of the Jewish law or the Mosaic law. Now, why would they do that? Why would anyone give up their freedom to become enslaved again to something? Well, I think there are a few reasons. Number one is that's just human nature. We just feel like we've got to help God out. We feel like that we've got to do something. We've got to do something to get our deity, whatever that is around the world, to get God to like us more. So that's just a part of fallen human nature. We want to work out our salvation and add to it and get God to like us. But the other reason here, the one that Paul is really referring to, is that Jewish legalists, or what we call Judaizers, had gained access to the Galatian church, and they were preaching what Paul calls in Galatians 1:6, another gospel. Now, by the way, there is no other gospel. Another gospel is a false gospel. It's false doctrine. It's heresy. And so they were preaching another gospel, which was justification by works. It's not only by faith, but it is by your works as well. And so Paul rather roughly shows the superiority of sola fide in this letter to this first century church. A letter that I think is just as critical, just as needful in the 21st century church. Around the world, this drift into salvation by our works, justification by our works, is happening all the time. It happens in America for sure. I mean, I see it all the time. I think it happens in the city of Portland. I think this is a needful letter for Portland Christian Center because we are often trying to add to our faith. I hear people do that all the time. Well, you've got to do this if you're truly a Christian. You've got to go to church whenever the doors are open. You need to be involved in a ministry. You need to sing on the worship team. You need to be an usher or a greeter. You need to work with the kids in the kids ministry. Or you know, the best work effort of all is you got to help in the middle school. Right? You'll gain heaven right away on that one, right? I hear people do that all the time. You've got to tithe. You got to be a tither or you're not a Christian. You've got to vote a certain political way. You've got to vote for a certain political party or you're not a Christian. I've heard people recently, now that we're in another political cycle, say, well, if you vote for a Democrat, you can't be a Christian. You must not be a Christian. I've heard other people say that I know and love. They're sincere people say, if you vote for a Republican, you can't be a Christian. Really? I mean, is salvation by grace through faith plus your political party that saves you? So we do this all the time. We do it all the time. And so I think this is a needful reminder that we need to stay alert to that. The doctrine of justification is a very critical doctrine. By the way, let me just mention that I think the reason we slip into some of these false doctrines or heresy, or we just get askew, buying into another gospel, is because we don't know doctrine very well. One of the reasons is we don't know our doctrine very well. And so I would just say to you, know your doctrine. If you don't know it, figure it out. Find it out. I mean, this church has a statement of faith. Being a part of our denomination, we have our 16 fundamentals of faith. And if you don't know that, I would recommend that you go online or ask the pastor and send me a copy of that so you can know what it is. Now, not every denomination believes the same doctrines, right? Some of them would disagree with some of our stances on certain things, like the timing of the rapture or the baptism in the Holy Spirit, things like that. But there are 7 or 8 doctrines that the church, evangelical church, universally has agreed upon. And those are the ones that I would say you really need to know these doctrines. And so we have printed up a card for you. It's a statement of faith that's accepted by the universal evangelical church that we say we all agree on these things. And so this is at the table. This card is at the table. It's a kind of a keeper card that you can put in your Bible. And I would just say, understand what this is so that you know when that is not being taught or not, you know, being put up in your face. On the back side of that, by the way, is a great little tool that we came across called Meditating on Scripture, and it gives you 9 ways that you can meditate on the Scripture as you're reading it, and this is so that you can read it accurately and apply it practically in your own life. So we have this for you. Stop by our table, and you can get a copy of it. But it's not by anything but grace through faith that we are saved, and we need to know that, and we need to stand for that, and we need to push back on anything that's not of that. So it's not a matter of how you read the Bible, or if you read the Bible every day, or you journal, your Bible reading every day, or, whatever, in a Sunday school class. It's not about whether you study the Bible verse by verse or whatever. It's not any of that. Now, those aren't bad things. Hear me on these things that I've just mentioned. Those are not bad things. Those are pathways to getting closer to God, but they don't make you more lovable to God. They don't make you more saved than what you already are. We are justified by faith alone. And so Paul is really going after this because people are abandoning that. And so that's why he very roughly, very seriously talks about that. And so what I want to do in this message today is to summarize these 14 verses, because I don't have time to get through all 14 of these, but I think I can do this in one verse. And you're thinking, yeah, yay, we can go early, we can go to lunch early. Not on your life. Because I get paid by the word. But I think I can summarize this in one verse, and I want you to look at verse 3, Galatians 3, verse 3. Where Paul writes, "How can you be so foolish?" Uses the word again. "You began your walk with Christ by God's Spirit." He's the agent of our salvation. He's the agent that affected our salvation. "Will you now finish by your effort, by your own works?" You think you need to help God out? You ever think you need to help God out? You ever think you need to do more to get God to like you more? Anyone beside me that falls into that trap sometimes? Raise your hand. I want to just see if I'm the only one up here. Yeah, no, there's a few. The rest of you are Pharisees, by the way. So, even though I've followed Jesus all of my life, and the older I get, I am increasingly appreciative of grace, God's grace, because as much as I've tried on my own, I still fall way short, and I know that I'm only going to make it by his grace. I know that when that time comes, I will stand before his throne. Jesus will present me before his throne without fault and with great joy because of his grace and not my effort. And so even though I follow Jesus all of my life, I still find myself at times trying to gain God's favor. If I preach a dull sermon, that this one isn't one of those, but if I preach a dull sermon, I will pull out all the stops on the next one so that it's at the Sermon of the Mount level, which never works, never works. If I fall into a sin I promise never to do again, I will start thinking how to make up for it. Kind of like Protestant penance. I think I would make a really good Catholic. I mean, to keep God impressed, I think, maybe I need to plant another 7,500 churches. Maybe he will really be impressed with me if I do that. I mean, that's kind of messed up, isn't it? Isn't that kind of a messed up view of who God is and who I am in God? Yeah, it is. But you know what? I bet you're the same. I bet you fall into the same trap. So here's what I want you to hear. This is the big idea, the key thought of this sermon, and it's this, that no matter what you do, you can't get God to like you any more than he already does. And no matter what you do, you can't get God to like you less, to love you less than he already does. Romans 5:8 says that God commended his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We often think that we got to get cleaned up and then God will do his work in our lives. Nuh-uh. Before we got saved, while we were still deep in sin, God commended his love for us in that he sent Jesus to pay the price for our redemption. And that's how much he likes you. That's how much he loves you. And we need to remember, as Zechariah 2:8 says, that God holds us. And when God holds you, he ain't going to let you go. He holds you as the apple of his eye. So here's my advice to you this morning, Portland Christian Center. Just chill. I mean, relax. You're in. You're saved. You're going to heaven. You've got the Holy Spirit living within you to affect your salvation. You're saved. You're forgiven. You're empowered. You're favored by God, and you're on your way to heaven. So reframe your thinking. Rather than focusing on your shortcoming, focus on God's sufficiency. You know, the greatest treasure that you have other than your salvation is your understanding and dependence upon the all-sufficient God that we belong to. God is sufficient, and he loves you. God loves you, warts and all. So while you're working on your warts, and God is working on your warts, just enjoy his unconditional, all-sufficient, transforming love. There was a brilliant theologian in the 15th century by the name of Thomas Aquinas. I love what he said. He said, "They ride pleasantly enough whom the grace of God carries." So let the grace of God carry you. Grace, grace. God's grace. Greater than what? All my sins. Sufficient for any shortcoming, any flaw, any failure that I have. So, how important is this doctrine of sola fide? How important is this justification by faith? Well, I want you to look now at Galatians chapter 1 and verse 8. So, Paul will tell us how important this is. He says, "Even if we or an angel preach another gospel than what we preach to you, let them be accursed. Let the curses of God fall down on their head." So, he's talking about twisting the pure and simple gospel, making it a little bit different, adding a little bit to it, which happens more than you think, more than we think. You see, Satan knows the power of the simple gospel's transformative effect in people's lives. And so that's why early and often he perverts it. He leads people to pervert it, usually by degrees, usually by millimeters, not miles. I mean, if we saw something way, way off, we can spot that a mile away, right? God, no, 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 that's not the gospel. And so we add to it this or we add to it that just by degrees. And pretty soon we've got a gospel that is by works. And so Paul wrote letters calling us to alertness. Be alert, be aware, be on guard against this. And that's why he gives such a sober warning to this Galatian church in these opening verses. If a preacher, a teacher, a spiritual leader, a mentor, someone who has influence over others, even an angel from heaven for that matter, if they bring a gospel message other than sola fide, let the curse of God fall upon them. Can that happen? Does that happen? Well, I want you to look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 11, because it happened to one of the most powerful preachers of grace ever, the Apostle Peter. Galatians chapter 2, verse 11, Paul says, "When Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he was clearly in the wrong." Well, why did Peter do? Well, Peter had separated himself when he went to Antioch because the Judaizers, the Jewish legalist Christians who said you still have to follow the law, were there. He pulled away from the Gentile believers, even though he's the one that had opened the door to the gospel for the Gentile world. Remember that in the book of Acts at the household of Cornelius? And he got carried away. He began to try to impress the Judaizers. And so he separated and ate with them and left the Gentile believers to eat by themselves, separate. But that sent a dangerous message to both Jew and Gentile believer. It sent the message that observing the law was still necessary to faith. Or worse, could add to it, could make it even better. So Paul took Peter on and publicly rebuked him. If I had time, there's a whole thing that we could look at on how to have a difficult conversation with someone who's gotten off track. We don't have time for that. But Paul corrected him publicly because Peter had demonstrated this behavior publicly. Great Christian thinker of a generation ago, Francis Schaeffer, said, "Truth demands confrontation. Loving confrontation, but confrontation nonetheless." And so we need to stand up for truth when it's being watered down. Now here's the thing. Here's a caveat to that. We need to make sure that we know what the truth is. Not our version of the truth, but what is God's truth in this matter? I mean, I see people like, we got to stand for truth, and then they begin to proclaim their version of the truth. So we got to be very, very careful about that. What is God's truth, and how do we stand lovingly for that? And the point is this. Don't be misled into thinking salvation is based on any man-made rules or any good works or any spiritual activity. Galatians 5:1 says, Christ has set you free from all of that. You've been set free from all of that. So be free. Don't be enslaved again to the works of the law. Don't be enslaved again to spiritual activity. Don't be enslaved again to human effort. Stick with salvation by grace through faith alone. Sola fide. And the theology of Galatians, especially in this particular section, is just brilliant. And that theology is this, that Christ's suffering on the cross means you don't have to. You don't have to suffer because Christ, keep in mind, suffer for to affect salvation in your life. You don't have to suffer because Christ did that for you. It was substitutionary, the doctrine of substitution. He died in your place. We deserve to be there. He died in our place. It's atoning, the atonement. Jesus paid your sin penalty because you couldn't pay it yourself. That's the brilliance of the gospel. Sufficiency. Your salvation is complete. There's nothing you can do to add to it or to make it better. Nothing you can do to add to it or to make it better. Grace frees you from impossible expectations and frenzied spiritual activity that adds absolutely zilch to your salvation. Zippo. Nothing. It's by grace and grace alone. For the first time in my life, my computer just died. So maybe you will get out early after all, because I had at least another hour of notes to go. Show me the next slide. Yeah. So here's the balance to that. So I know some of you, now I know what I'm going to say. So I know some of you are probably a little uncomfortable with what I've just said or what Paul has said, because you want to, you can't just go out and do whatever you want. You can't live like you want because grace is going to cover it all. That's the other side. That's the other extreme to this. There's the legalist, and then there's the people that are way off into license, that there is no sin because God's grace covers it all. But look at the balance of this. Galatians chapter 5, verse 14. It says the whole law is summed up in this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. So if you have to fulfill a law, if you're called to do something in response to what God has already done, then make sure you're fulfilling this law, the law of love. And if you fulfill the law of love, then next verse, you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. So you're bringing notes up to me, and you're thinking that I can even read these because they're in an ungodly sized font, so I'm not even going to. I mean, my notes, you could see from the moon, right, if you had to. Thank you. That was a good idea, but not going to work. So, yeah, next verse. Let's go on to it here. Nope, one before that. Oh, here it is. Yeah. So you were called to be free. You were called to be free, but don't use your freedom to indulge your sinful desires. Rather, use your freedom to serve one another in love. The whole gospel, the whole book is summed up in this. It says, love your neighbor as yourself. You know, he doesn't even say, love God. And then love your neighbors yourself, you know, the two greatest commandments. He says, no, just love your neighbors yourself, and you're going to fulfill all of the word of God. Because you can't love your neighbor as yourself if you don't love God, right? So if you have to fulfill a law, fulfill the law of love. So I want to wrap this up now, unless I get inspired by some other slides here. And talk about an application. So how do we apply this? How do we take this message, this really hard, strong message from Paul, and how do we apply it to our own lives? How do we make practical application of this today? Well, I want to refer to one more verse in Romans chapter 13. I think it's verses 10, Romans 13, 10 and 11, where Paul is talking about something similar in the book of Romans. And again, he says, love fulfills the requirements of God's law. And then he adds this. This is kind of an interesting juxtaposition of what he now talks about with the law of love. He says, this is especially urgent, for you know time is running out. He's talking about the return of the Lord. And he says, we only have so much shelf life in which we can fulfill the law of love before Jesus comes back. And what we do out of our own volition now will not be out of volition when we're in heaven. We're just going to love. You know, we're going to be free to love, and we will. It'll just be our nature. We won't have that sinful nature anymore. But if you're going to, out of your own volition, love God by loving people, you better do it right now because the Lord is coming back. Wake up. Our salvation, that is the consummation of our salvation, is nearer now than when we first believed. So here's the thought. If Jesus were to show up today on this stage and he were to say to you, I'm coming back in 24 hours. 24 hours from now, I will return. I didn't tell the first service this. I'm only telling you because you can handle it. I'm not going to tell any other church, but I'm telling you. I'm going to come back 24 hours from now. Now, if you heard that from Jesus himself, and you knew that the highest calling is to love your neighbors yourself, especially knowing that he's going to show up and we have to stand before him and give account for the love that we expressed or didn't express, then who would you love? And how would you express that love? I want you to close your eyes for a second. If the greatest thing you can do to honor God and his law is to love others, knowing the urgency of this, who is that person that you would pour out, that you would become a conduit of God's love to them? Who is it? I imagine as I was thinking about this, someone came to my mind. And I imagine right now that as you're letting the Holy Spirit speak to you, that in your mind, in your mental viewfinder, you're seeing a person or you're thinking of a name. Who is it that you would love? And how is it that you would love them? How would you love them? Just let the Holy Spirit talk to you about that. And I think the assignment is, okay, so today, in the next 24 hours, go and love them. Express your love to them. Show them God's love through your love. Now, think about this. Whether Jesus comes back or not, this law of love is still our calling. So why don't we do that with everyone that God brings into our world? Let's just do that anyway. Let's just love the people in our lives. In response to the salvation that God has given us by his grace, that we express faith in, that our effort would be given to loving the people that God puts in our lives. So I want to pray with you and I want to include that idea in this prayer, but I also want to do this as well. I think there are probably more than a few people in this room that you would say, I have just been wrestling with what I need to do to gain God's favor. You just have this need to add to what God has already done for you, and it's kind of become a bondage to you. And you feel like, I've got to do more. I've got to give more. I've got to be more. I'm just under this guilt that I'm not a good enough Christian. I want to pray for you because I think in this moment, the transformative work of the Holy Spirit can release you from that and into the enjoyment of the rhythms of God's grace in your life. So if that's you, with every head bowed, just a private moment between you and God, how many of you would just slip your hand up and say, Pastor Ray, you're talking to me. I'm just trying so hard and it's just not working and I'm just tied in knots sometimes. Yeah, all over this place. Just raise your hand up real quick. This is the act of faith that I think will initiate the Holy Spirit's work in your life. Yeah, all over this place. There's a lot of us in that boat, including me. My hand is up, by the way. Then some of you may be here today that you have never received the gift of salvation, the free gift of salvation. Maybe you know about Jesus. Maybe you've heard, the story of Jesus and the call to salvation. but you've never received the gift personally. You know, a gift is only as good as you take it, you receive it, you open it, you use it. It's not a gift otherwise. It just sits on the shelf. It does nobody any good. So if you have never personally received the free gift, no strings attached, the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, I want to pray for you in this moment. And so if you would like to receive that gift, would you just raise your hand up right now all over this place? How many hands can I see? Yeah, see that hand? Others, yeah. See your hand? Others? Anyone else? Yeah. Anyone else? Yeah, see your hand. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Yeah. Well, let's pray. Would you stand with me, please, as I offer this prayer over you? We'll sing a song in just a minute to begin to close out the day that we have together. So, Father, I want to pray over Portland Christian Center, my family. I pray over my life as well as I'm praying for them. Lord, I know you're calling us to love others as we love ourselves. And I think specifically, God, you probably have put people in our mind that we need to now go out and love. And I pray that you would empower that in us. I pray that you would open the door for that, make that other person ready for that. And I pray that as we express love, that it would be received as a gift of your love. And so, Lord, let us not neglect that. The time is short. Our salvation is near at hand. We need to be the most loving people in the whole wide world. So I pray, empower us, call us, lead us into that. Lord, I pray for everyone in this place that raised their hand that said, I wrestle with this idea of adding to my salvation, of being good enough for God, of giving effort to what God has already done on the cross. Lord, I just pray that in this moment, that this would be a transformative moment where the Holy Spirit would come and release us from our need to add effort to what you've already done for us. God, help us to really come to understanding, to embrace, to really take into our very being this idea that we are saved by your grace and your grace alone. It's through our expression of faith that we are saved and by nothing else. And I pray that that would become revelation knowledge to us. And I pray that it would transform our lives. And then, Lord, I just want to pray for everyone that raised their hand to receive the gift of salvation. Maybe for the first time, maybe this is a recommitment. But, Lord, whoever those people were, I pray that the Holy Spirit now would come and affect their salvation. That you would bring it into existence in their heart and in their life now and every day going forward and for all eternity. Lord, I pray all of these things. I thank you for your grace. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your love. Thank you that you have persisted with us when we felt like giving up on ourselves or on one another. So God, thank you for that love that seeks us out and never stops. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said, amen.
Hello, my name is Pastor John, and I'm the online campus pastor here at Portland Christian Center. I wanted to first of all thank you for listening to this message, and our prayer is that what you heard today has inspired something within you on your journey to discover more of who God is. I do want to give one more opportunity to accept Christ, so if you're listening today and want to make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, then please pray this with me. Lord Jesus, for too long I've kept you out of my life. I know that I'm a sinner and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking. By faith, I gratefully receive your gift of salvation. I am ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins and rose from the dead on the third day. Thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior. Amen. If you prayed that prayer to accept Christ, congratulations. We at Portland Christian Center call that decision your best yes. And we are here to help you walk forward in your faith journey. So whether you receive Christ today or are curious more about Portland Christian Center and what's happening here, please visit us online at pcctoday.com. That's pcctoday.com.